My name is Alica Kačengová and this is Restarts in Tech. With guests from various tech professions, I talk about the challenges they faced in their beginnings and later, about how they overcame them, and about what you can learn from them. Because wherever they are now, at some point, they were at the beginning. With digital product designer Christina Chen, we will talk about switching from marketing to design, about being productive when working remotely, and about why she now calls Europe her home. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Good to be here.
I usually start the interview with asking about the first encounter with computers or technology. Mm-hmm. But because you are more a design person, I would start straight away with asking what was your first encounter with design?
Okay. Well, for probably as long as I remember, I loved art. I loved art as a child. I loved to draw and mostly draw and paint and even do watercolor as a child. But I would say something that really really sticks out to me in terms of the design spot that I am at now today is that when I was little, my mom would subscribe to these fashion magazines that would come in the mail every month back in the days when you receive magazines in the mail that you subscribe to and you can flip through every pages. And I loved looking at the layouts of these magazines, and it wasn't so much what was the content, but it was exactly the layout of the content. I really liked how texts were in one place and visuals in another place, and cutouts of celebrities and models were placed in another way. And I think that was probably the earliest memories I have of being interested in layouts, which I'm sure we'll get to later on about, which leads to where I'm now doing UX and UI. And then always, as in school, I would volunteer because I was just naturally interested in doing posters, I would say like posters, brochures for various clubs, extracurricular activities. I was also in the school newspaper where I did do some writing, but I was a layout editor. So I placed all the articles of each month, or was it each week? I can't remember, on each page of the school newspaper that were to be ready to be printed out.
But you didn't go to study design or something similar after the high school, did you?
No. So you would think so, right? And that is what I innately wanted to do. However, my parents had other ideas because, I mean, understandable, especially, you know, over 20, well, not it wasn't 20 years ago, but even over 10 years ago, still now I would say, people of our parents' generation don't see fine arts and design as a career path where you're guaranteed a stable lifestyle. So they pushed me to study other things that could offer that. So in the end, I chose a degree in business with a specialization in marketing because I thought marketing, you know, involves advertising, which involves visual arts and psychology, which are both things I was quite interested in, and was hoping to get more into design that way. So I went to university studying, getting a degree in business and marketing. And then during my degree, I was though, like I was doing in high school where I was drawn to do extracurricular activities that offer me an opportunity to design. So I did an internship as a social media manager, and there I was able to create the visuals for all the social media posts for businesses. And then I was also in the entrepreneurship center in my university, and I was more also in charge of social media, but then I got more freedom and was able to design some like advertisement, posters, even worked on their website a bit. So I still continued with all these finding opportunities to practice my design hobby.
Did you meet any people who you could learn from?
Yes, definitely. I think during my degree studying business, I was still not convinced that even if I go into marketing, I would say satisfy my interest or my passion in design, and the career path, the idea of going into marketing, doing mostly marketing things, did not appeal to me. So in the back of my head, I was always thinking, can I still switch? Can I still go into art? And then my school's business department offered a mentorship program with alumni. So people who were also studying in studied a degree in business, who are graduates now, who are working, and they're open to be a mentor for current students. And I was able to look through some of the profiles of these mentors, and I was matched with a mentor who was exactly doing something that is very similar to what I had questions about, if it was feasible. So it was a girl who was working as a fashion illustrator after her degree in business. I was thinking, how did she do that? So she was able to give me very good advice, I would say, about how she made the switch from business to illustration and pure illustration, nothing business. Actually, now she's a very successful fashion illustrator who illustrates for big brands. So I'm super happy for her. And I think the one thing that really stuck out to me was her advice of it's never too late to make a change, to really go after what you want to do. Because in the end, work will take over the majority of your life. This is how we will spend the majority of your life. So might as well do it in something that you do enjoy, thinking that you're going to spend the majority of your life doing.
So after you finished the university, did you try to find a marketing job, or did you immediately try to find something design related?
So yes, I did. I did try to find a marketing job, because I think when you're in the environment, you're with other about to graduate students who are in marketing, everyone is competing and pushing for marketing jobs at the biggest companies, the most known brands. And of course, I definitely felt like a sheep in a herd. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I guess that's the way I should go. So I did try to apply for, I did apply for marketing jobs, but at the same time, I also did apply for design jobs just to see, because by then I was able to create a portfolio from all the extracurricular free time designs that I did. So I did use that as sort of like, oh, let's see if anyone is interested in me based on what I can create so far. But then, so in the end, I did not get a marketing job, because I think one, deep down, I probably didn't want it hard enough. And then the other was that it is a very competitive field, and people are competing to work in these big, stressful corporations, which unfortunately is still glamorized, I think, at least in North America, this super stressful lifestyle where you're working crazy hours, you're in a super demanding corporation. And that was something that also did not attract me. So, did not get a marketing job, but I did get a graphic design job. So my extracurricular portfolio did pay off after all. And I ended up being a junior graphic designer working for the Comic-Con organizers of Canada, where they hosted several, I would say up to 10 or 11 different Comic-Cons. So Comic-Cons are these conventions where celebrities from superhero movies come and, you know, you can buy things, you can go to talks. It's everything to do with comics and superheroes and all of that. So I worked as a junior graphic designer for them, and I moved to Toronto by myself.
How did you like it? Was it what you wanted?
So I think when you get your first job out of university, you can't complain. It's experience is experience. And of course, it was a job that is fully dedicated to design, which is something that I always wanted. However, just because it wasn't design didn't mean that it fulfilled my life's dreams. And of course, the other factors you have to consider when working at it in any job is the company itself, the environment, the job itself, the salary, all of that. And in the end, it wasn't, although it was a design job, and I have to say, the work that I did during this job definitely helped me to create even more of a portfolio, add to my portfolio and add to my CV and add to my experience of, you know, what is it like to work in a job, in a design job. In the end, the job was still quite stressful and it wasn't well paid to for someone who's living in a major city. In the end, it was a good first job to remember.
I guess you decided to make a change.
Yes, I did. I did indeed. And I think I was already unconsciously, or maybe consciously, already knew quite a few months in, or even several months ahead before I actually made the change, which is, of course, you can probably predict quitting the job. I think I was already foreseeing this. So while I was working this job, I got a second job as a bartender and worked at night while I worked this design job during the day. And in the end, I decided to quit this job. But what this job helped me decide is that I definitely want to go fully into design. So this made me decide to apply for a master degree or postgraduate degree in Europe. And why I did chose Europe compared to, you know, anywhere else in North America was that I felt like this lifestyle that I was experiencing in my early 20s in a major city won't be too different anywhere else in the States or in Canada. I don't want to generalize, but it felt like in addition to an environment change, I need a culture change. And when I was in university, I actually did a exchange in Madrid and I had such a good experience, but this might be like what everyone says about their Erasmus experience, because it was just so easy. So I decided, you know what, why not? I'm in my early 20s. I'm going to move to another country and just completely make a change. Make the degree, the career change, make the culture change, the a complete environment change.
And you decided for Spain right away, or did you consider other options?
Spain was the country I was familiar with, but of course, I didn't want to, you know, put all my eggs in one basket. So I was just happy with the idea of moving to Europe in general. So I did apply to programs in London, Barcelona, and Florence, and particularly those cities because they were the few in Europe that offered programs in English.
Did you get accepted to all of them? And had to make a decision after it?
Yes, I did. I did get accepted into all of them. And the decisions I made were partly based on the program itself, but partly based on a practical reason, which is money. So one of the reasons I picked, so in the end, of course, I ended up in Barcelona. And the reason for that is I wanted a degree that was practical, more practical than theoretical. because I wanted to just straight and go into the industry, know what it's like to work as a designer, whichever format, and learn about the different areas of graphic design, because those are things I never learned about and really add to my portfolio. Just really do more design rather than learn about design. So Barcelona, that was one of the reasons I chose Barcelona compared to the other ones. But another reason is because Barcelona was the most affordable, and with the amount of savings I was able to get to have as working nightly as a bartender, part-time as a bartender, that was my best option.
And how long did you study there?
So I did a 6-month postgraduate degree. It was a degree in graphic design applied to communications, and I learned a lot because, like I said, I wanted something very practical, and the professors or the teachers in my program, they are still people in the industry. Yeah, they teach, I would say, part-time, but then most of their time they are, you know, directors of design studios or design agency. So it's very nice to learn about people who are still doing design every day as their job, rather than someone who teaches about the theory of design.
After you finished this degree, did you start looking for a job in Barcelona?
Yes, because I loved it. I love the city. I love the place. And strange enough, it felt, even though I didn't spend so much time there, it felt more like home than North America, than Canada or the US. So I did try to apply for a job right after so that I can stay there. And I did get an offer from a startup. However, because I was a non-EU person, it would take me longer to get a visa that will allow me to work after my student visa has expired. And they, unfortunately, at that time, they needed someone to start right away, so they couldn't wait. So unfortunately, I lost the offer because of that reason. And I had to sadly go back to Canada, go back to my parents' house,
that must have been like quite sad, because you would go forward, and suddenly you have to go backward.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then this sounds like the part in the typical movie where you see, you're rooting for the main character, and then suddenly something bad happens to her, and you're like, aww, but there must be an upward.
No?
Well, yes.
Was there?
Yes, listeners, there is. So I did, you know, sad and, you know, with my back hunched, go back to Canada with my things. And then I spent a few months looking for other jobs, but since I already got the degree, I was more motivated to now completely focus on finding and starting my career in design as a graphic designer. So I was doing that while I was in Canada. But then, and this was also out of nowhere in a very different environment than I expected. So while I was in Canada, I also decided to make a trip to China, to Shanghai, to visit some of my relatives. And while I was there, I received an email from the startup, and they said, we still want you, and we would be very happy if you come to work for us, and this time we're willing to wait for you to get this visa. Insane, incredible. And it felt so unreal because I was halfway around the world receiving an email like that. So after my trip, went back to Canada, got the necessary visa, which is a youth mobility working holiday visa that allowed people under 35 to live and work abroad for a year or two, depending on the country and depending on the agreement. So I got that and went back, moved back to Barcelona and started a job.
Ooh, yes. sounds like the happy ending. Like, of course, it was not the ending. How was that job? It was your second design job, so mm-hmm. was it better than your first design job?
I would say yes, definitely. And I would say there are a few aspects that makes it a lot better. One is that I think this time I'm more focused in the area of design that interests more. So until then, I was doing mostly print design. And when I did my degree, I had experience with all the areas of design. And I realized that the area that intrigued me the most is digital design. So designing the typical, like designing websites, designing apps or software, UX, UI, anything digital, mm-hmm. even designing for, you know, Apple Watch, anything digital. So I was a lot more interested in this field, in designing this field. And then, but the other part is the fact that the environment, the company itself is different because it's a startup. And compared to my first job, where it was quite a strict organization and you were hired to do exactly what you're hired to do in a startup, it definitely allowed for a lot more flexibility with your responsibilities. And yes, while you have to, you know, do the things that you're responsible for, you're definitely allowed to be involved or learn about areas that you are interested in and you want to do more of. So slowly, I started off doing more marketing materials and maybe supporting materials like for tutorials or documentations. But then slowly, I got involved with the lead product designer and started working on some UI, which is user interface design.
So what's your position now?
My position now is I am the lead product designer at the current startup that I'm working in, which is different than the startup that I started in. But what is what's funny and but what's also really nice is that while it's a different startup, the core team remain the same people. So I have been working quite a long time with the people, the core team members, but now we work for a different startup together. So going back to my position, so I'm the lead product designer and my main responsibility is to design the interface of the platform itself, which is a web-based platform that allows people to create native mobile apps without coding.
What can I imagine under these? Like what do you do during your days? What's your job?
Mm-hmm. As I said, in a startup, of course, and maybe a lot of people who are also in startup can relate that sometimes you're wearing a lot of hats and you're doing a lot of things. But then I'll explain my main focus, which is product design. And that is essentially designing, being in charge of all the visual aspects of this platform itself. So when a user logs in or when a user goes into our website, goes into our platform, logs in, or signs up, what do they see? What's the first screen they see? And then if they click on a button or something, what do they see? Where do they go? These are each screens of this platform, and I basically maintain each screens. So I constantly look and review and see if there's any improvements to be made. And I also create new screens for any new functionalities that we implement. And then at the same time, I created the design system for the platform so that everything is consistent. The whole look is consistent. And if we get more designers, they're able to take this design system and run with it, and the platform will still look consistent.
What is the design system?
So a design system tells you all the specs, all the specifications of one product, one digital product. So for us, it covers everything from like, what does a button look like? Because, you know, if it's the primary button, it should look the same in every screen. If it has the primary action, what does an input field look like? That should look the same no matter what page you're on. Things like this. What are the colors that we use throughout the platform? If we need to give a warning, what is the color? Should it be a red? Should it be an orange? What is the typography? So the fonts, the text size, when should you use them? And the icons that we use and things like layout and spacing and padding.
It looks like the design system is a toolbox which you can have. You can do everything. Mm-hmm. So is it possible to create a perfect design system which anybody can take and use?
Yes, in the sense that anyone can use a design system and know how to use each component and when to use each component. But I would say you will still, in order to create a product, in order to create a interface with this design system, it takes another a human aspect to use the design system. Because often what we'll do, the process will be to implement, whether it's an improvement or whether it's a new feature, we get specifications from tech, from devs, and then where we have this broad idea of, okay, this is how it works technically, and we need to make this functionality that now we have the technical idea of, to make it work intuitively in the front end, in the interface for our users, especially because our users are non-tech people. Well, but even for, I would say, like a programming tool, it should still be intuitive for programmers and developers. So product designer or interface designer can have the perfect design system, but they also need the knowledge. How are you able to use that design system and all the components of that design system and the colors and the text and place it on a screen so that the user, the end user, can intuitively do the functionality that is intended.
Now we know what you do. Mm-hmm. And let's now talk more about how you do it. Mm-hmm. I know that you work remotely, but you also have experience of working from the office. Yeah. Can you compare it? And which way do you like more?
I think typically someone, like I would say the modern employees these days, they will automatically assume that remote working is better than office working because it's new. It's you have this idea of like traveling all over the world.
Working from the beach.
Yeah, working from the beach under a palm tree. Well, it's not that easy if you don't have internet connection. I think in the end, it really depends on your work style and what works best for you in terms of your working habits. We were in the office until COVID and we switched to remote, so like a lot of other companies, especially tech companies, and we started working from home. And it did take a while for us, meaning the company, to really find a good dynamic of working remotely so that we don't create any obstacles when it comes to communication or workflows or just the whole working process and working as a company. And for me personally, I like remote working. I do prefer remote working more than office working because before when we were working in office, you were adhered to a strict schedule, when you need to be in the office, when you need to have lunch even, and the office, the environment, you're adhered to always being in the same environment every single day, every single week. And that actually sort of deteriorated my productivity and my motivation over time. And so personally for me, I'm someone who likes change, and especially change of environment. And that actually helps me to focus more than distract me. I would be perfectly fine going to an office if I go to the office twice a week, or maybe once a week. But then maybe the other 3 days I am a co-working space, and the next week I'm at a friend's apartment, and then the next week I'm in a new city, you know, co-working space. This definitely is my preference in terms of what helps me to be more productive and to focus more. And I would say the other important aspects to consider when remote working is also the company itself. How does the company deal with remote working? And from my experience, having good processes is really important. Agreed process as a company of how things should work, how you should communicate, how you should work asynchronously, because most of the time when we are remote working, that is the main way that we plan out functionality, plan out features, or we have meetings. Yeah, so I would say definitely processes in the company is very important. So remote working doesn't suddenly make you solo, like a sole worker. Still, you're still part of the company, and that still affects how you work.
And do you think there is something important about like how you organize your work? Because if you are always in a, or often in a different environment, that means that you can't have the routine. How do you deal with that to stay productive?
So that I would say is also another benefit I find personally for myself. So I cannot emphasize enough that it really depends on your personal working habits, because remote working seems to also be something that is glamorized and mm-hmm. fantasized. And so for me, I found that I also focus better and work better when I plan my days or week based on the outcome or the deliverables rather than the amount of time I spent. So rather than thinking, okay, I am going to work 4 hours before lunch, 4 hours after lunch, I break down my days or week rather as I'm going to work on this and this and deliver these two things before lunch. And after lunch, I work on these three things. That is how I stay focused with a schedule that might not be the same every day.
But you need to be also good at estimating, because if you say I will do two things before lunch and they will take 6 hours, then you might end up with a very late lunch.
That can also happen, yes. And but for sure, that also takes practice. I would say now I have quite a good control and grasp of estimating my own efficiency and really being realistic with yourself. Because with this, you don't have actual time, the concrete time, like 1 hour, 2 hours to use as your base. You have, you know, these deliverables to use as your measurement. So I think one thing that's a good or an important part about remote working is to be honest with how much work you can realistically get done. So practice by practice, I have learned how to estimate quite well and then be able to say, okay, I can realistically do this before lunch and then these things after lunch.
Mm-hmm. I think that the answer to my next question is quite clear, but I will still ask it. How do you see this decision to do something else that you were expected to do now? Are you happy about it?
Yes. That is quite a, in broad sense, it's a very easy question for me to answer. Yes, I think everything that I've decided that has led me to this point in my career, I am so glad that I made them, even though for some of them it was quite difficult at the moment when you decide and you feel like you're jumping off a cliff. But I think the motto that sort of live by and has definitely proven to be true based on the decisions I've made, and also this is an advice that was given by this mentor in university, is that it's never too late to make a change, because right now, I think at every point of my life, whether I was 18 deciding on university specializations, or whether I was, you know, 25 deciding on a job, whatever it may be, I always thought, oh, am I too late? Am I too old to change? But no, because there will always be a time when you're looking back. Like, you will always reach a time when you look back on that decision. And that's always the moment when you're like, yeah, I was never too late. I was never too old. And I think a very nice phrase that I heard from a psychology podcast that I listen to is that yesterday is as important or as relevant as ancient Rome to your personal life, because it really doesn't matter what happened yesterday, what happened in the past, what you were doing for a very long time. As long as you feel differently today, as long as you want to do something different today, then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea to wrap up. So thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
If you like the podcast, subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. You can also contact me on hello@alica.dev. I will welcome your feedback, questions, and also tips for the next guests.